Our passage for today is found in the book of John, chapter 21. Verses 1 through 19. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Reading from the New King James Version. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me."
God bless you. Mrs. Sue Edwards told me that I was going to feel like I was right at home in the midst of a family. And when I stood and heard the applause, it shocked me. And I said, only a family of friends, of brothers and sisters would greet you in such a warm way. So I thank God for you. President Mark Bailey, to the faculty, the staff, student body, I am delighted to be here. Although I say I'm delighted, I stand here in fear and trembling. It's not an easy task to know that you're on a seminary campus And then I found out today that the props were going to be surrounding me. I need blinders on. So I need grace and mercy, and thank you for your prayers. We have always been blessed whenever we heard Dr. Mark Bailey. I like that last name that you have, President Bailey. He is definitely a good friend. Not only was he a good friend and brother to my husband, but has been so kind to the Bailey family and to E.K. Bailey Ministries. We are blessed every time we hear him. And to the friends who are here, I see Concord throughout this area, this audience, and my second child, my youngest daughter, Shaniqua Cager, is here. Shaniqua, would you wave your hand? I won't ask you to stand because I got 20 minutes. And to my highly esteemed pastor, Pastor Brian Carter, and his lovely wife and the members of the Concord Baptist Church, thank you for coming and thank you for sharing. Since my beloved husband, E.K. Bailey, graduated to his eternal home, I have often been asked, how are you doing? The words penned by the author, Robbie Reed, in her book, A Prescription for a Broken Heart, describes my sentiments. She says, imagine two experienced ice skaters executing a particular intricate movement with such coordination that they appear to be one, and then one lets go, and it leaves the other one flailing, trying to find balance. And that's what it has been like. But God has been faithful as I have been engaged in the rudiments of starting over. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk from that subject, starting over. There have been times that I've had to answer the questions, Lord, what's your plan for my life in this new season? How do you want me to manage all of these responsibilities, and how do I find balance? Have any of you ever had to start over? What were some of the questions that you might have asked? Perhaps you asked questions as you began a new educational level, or moved to another city, another job, another church, started new relationships, entered into holy matrimony, and had children. What do you do when the pressures of seminary, ministry, job, parenting, and marriage seems to be pulling your marriage apart? How do you start over again, rekindling the intimacy that you seem to be losing? How do you start over again when you seem to be so far behind, you don't know where to begin next? Well, when we look again at the Gospel of John, chapter 21, that Pastor Carter has just read for us, we will find a post-resurrection narrative of seven disciples who are on a fishing excursion, but they are in the process of starting all over again. We find them on this boat, and usually when the darkness would encroach upon the mist that was coming from the Sea of Tiberias, fishing would still be successful, but not on this night. Usually, fishing would bring these seven disciples relaxation, but on this night, it brought anxiety. These were skilled fishermen. They knew how to fish, when to fish, and where to fish. But this time, they are not succeeding in what they used to be successful in. And then there comes a voice from the shore just before dawn breaks. And that voice cries out, children, do you have any food? Children, who is that calling us? Who would be using that term of endearment? And then the voice says, after they replied, no, we don't have anything, cast your nets on the right side. Who is that on the shore? Because dawn has not actually appeared. It's on its way, but it's not actually appeared. And here they're waiting to see who is this that's caring so much about them. And yet they are obedient. They cast their nets on the other side. And the Bible says that they have such a catch, 153 fish, and some commentaries would say that was a perfect catch. Then Peter realized, after John the beloved had told him, that is the Lord, and Peter put on his outer garment and plunged into the water. And before he gets to the land, let me just share with you, if you're going through any darkness right now, as you are trying to start over, as you're trying to finish this semester well, that in the darkest hour, in the darkest time of trying to make those good grades for those final papers, the darkest hours of passing those final exams, and whatever problems and pressures that you may be going through, don't forget, in those dark hours, that's when Jesus shows himself. He is the incessant, unstoppable God who shows himself in remarkable ways. And so now Peter has made it to the shore, and so has the other disciples in their boat, bringing along with them the 153 fish. And what do they find? They find that Jesus is the one that's there. Jesus has already cooked breakfast for them, and they are drawn to the fire, to the coals that are burning in their fish, not bacon and eggs, but there are fish and roasted bread on the coals. Now, there's something distinctive about the aroma of coals. The evening before Memorial Day or the 4th of July, I just like to go outside my house, either the front yard or the backyard, I can smell the aroma of the other neighbors barbecuing. And it alerts my salivary glands that something exciting is about to happen, and I sure wish that I could be a partaker in that particular meal. Well, the German theologian Helmut Thielicke has said that each of us have an olfactory gland, and that olfactory gland is the organ that causes us to remember. And when we remember, it causes us to look and witness the sense of smell, and then it channels it to another memory that we've had. So when I open my door, I go outside, and I smell the distinctive aroma coming from the coals, that's when I remember, because of my olfactory gland, over 32 years ago, that I was barbecuing at our other house. I played volleyball while I was 7 months pregnant. The doctor said I could do that just the day before. And to my surprise and my husband's surprise, our firstborn, Kokisha, was born the next morning. Surely when Peter looked at the fire, smelled the aroma from the coals that were burning, surely the olfactory gland caused him to remember another fire. Another fire that was alien, that caused him to deny Jesus three times. And we would want to tell Peter, Peter, don't stop right there. Let your olfactory glands keep working. Let them keep telling you what you have remembered in the past. Don't get locked into your bad experiences. The Lord has already forgiven you. Go back, Peter. Go back a little farther. Go back to Luke, the 5th chapter, when Jesus calls you not only to fish for fish in the sea that will become dead, but he challenges you to become fishers of men who will become alive in Christ. Go back, Peter. Go back, Peter, until you hear Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Go back, Peter. What does that say for us? That whatever experiences that we have had in life, let the fire
Let the memory, the olfactory glands, send memories to us. Let's evoke the pleasant memories of when we first got started with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, is there something that you're saving, something that you're holding on to, and that precious item is what takes you back to the coals? When I use my husband's Bible with his name, E.K. Bailey, on it, it makes me go back to the place of the coals, because it reminds me of the years that he spent after receiving his calling to preach the gospel of Christ, and how souls were saved and souls were built up. So now it's a pleasure and something dear that I hold on to in my heart. Perhaps it's a card that you have in your drawer or in a special secret place. It's turned yellow now, but you hold on to it. Maybe that card was sent to you by your mama or by your daddy or by your father in the ministry, but it takes you back to the coals. Are you holding on to a hospital bracelet? And that hospital bracelet takes you back to the coals because it helps you to remember, if it hadn't been for God on your side when you were in that hospital, you would have never come out of there alive. We need to go back. But then while at the fire, Jesus says, come and eat breakfast with me. Come eat breakfast with me. Fine dining at its best. Usually we think of fine dining about dinner meals and even lunch meals. We don't hear too much about fine dining breakfast, but if Jesus is preparing the breakfast for us, it is fine dining. Because Jesus is giving us the spiritual nutrients that we need for our stamina and for our spiritual growth. When he serves breakfast, then he breaks the fast from last night's emptiness by affirming us, by giving us instruction, and by commissioning us into his opportunities of service. Come and eat breakfast. And then the fire that was started on the shore was transferred to Peter's heart. Four times when you read this passage, Jesus has been talking to them, the disciples. Now he zeroes in on him, Peter, because restoration is personal. And so he comes close to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? A third time, was he saying it for each time that Peter had denied him? But listen to Jesus. Peter, do you agape me? Lord, I phileo you. Peter, do you agape me? Lord, I phileo you. But Jesus is saying, I want you, if you really love me, to feed my sheep. To feed my sheep. And not only feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. If you love me, what is love? Do a study of 1 Corinthians 13. That's the model for the agape love, that it doesn't boast, it isn't arrogant, but it endures and that it perseveres. It is kind and it does not think evil. Is that the kind of love that we offer Jesus? Unconditional agape love, not the phileo love. And then how do we show and demonstrate that love and express that love to the lambs and to the sheep? Well, we know that lambs are young and lambs are tender. Lambs may be some of the students that are here, and then lambs may be someone my age who is just spiritually immature. Jesus tells Peter, feed my lambs, instruct them, disciple them, and then the sheep, the older one, don't forget them either. They're a little bit older now. Matter of fact, they've gotten stuck in their ways. They're not as flexible as they used to be. And maybe the lambs are getting on their nerves. Just like the lambs are saying, the sheep are getting on their nerves. Teach them how to have mutual respect for each other, to be able to love one another. Now, how does that flesh itself out? When you go into the ministry as full-time in whatever capacity that you might be working in, there's all kinds of people that you're going to have to deal with. There will be the manipulators, the possessors, the demanders, and the interrogators. Matter of fact, it was Dr. Calvin Miller in his book, Empowered Leaders, that talks about you will even find the congenitally belligerent in the churches. You'll find the yes butters. They'll say yes, but, and you'll find the whiners within the church, and yet there is no excuse because Jesus still says, if you love me, then you will love, feed, and nurture my lambs and my sheep. Are you ready to start over? It may be the end of the semester, but it is a new beginning whenever you dine with Jesus. When you decide to dine with Jesus, you have to realize that just as he talked to those different disciples, there was Peter, the one who denied him. There was Nathanael, the skeptic who said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There was Thomas, who was the doubter. There were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. And there were two other disciples. Whatever your temperament might be, whatever your weaknesses are, Jesus still asks you, do you love me? And if you love me, follow me. How do you follow someone? You follow them by following the trail. Go back. Sometimes following means taking a U-turn. Going back in order to go forward. And isn't that what Joseph and Mary had to do? When they realized that Jesus wasn't with them, that they had to go back and get Jesus in order to go forward. If you have left Jesus out of the scenario, out of your life, out of your equation of solving problems, go back and get him so that he can make the difference in your life. How will I start over again? I'll start over. Praising him like never before. Because we say when praises go up, blessings come down. How will I start over again? I am committed that I will worship him like never before. From the rising of the sun until the setting of the same. How will I start over again? By praying to him like never before. I won't be anxious for nothing, as the Bible says, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let my request be made known so that the peace of God will guard my heart. Do you want to start over again? I will start over again by confessing more, because I will agree with God and not try to cover up my sins of commission and omission, because God in his word says that he is faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. How do I start over again? I start over again committed to serve him like never before. How do I start over again? Stirring up the gift that is in me afresh. And that's how you can start over again, by making that U-turn. The songwriter says it better than I do. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord. Take me back where I first believed. Take me back where I first received you. I want to go back so I can go forward. That there was a time that the simplest things are still calling me, but I need for you to renew my strength, dear Lord. Restore my joy, dear Lord. My soul is dissatisfied until I am with you. Take me back. And let me be the person that you want me to be. If there's anyone in here that just want to start over again afresh, would you stand on your feet? Forget about everyone who's around you. You may have made some mistakes. And you've gotten caught up in the hustle and the bustle. And you want God to take you back. And you can pray that prayer right now, just like the songwriter penned those words. Renew my strength. Restore my joy. Wipe the tears from my eyes. And now, while they bow their heads in prayer, may the others join them. Lord, I thank you for Dallas Theological Seminary and its mission and how they make such a difference throughout the world, equipping and empowering leaders to impact the world as they impart the word. But now I pray, God, just for each one who's here. And Lord, I just feel like there's some others that need a fresh start from you. And for some reason, they didn't stand. And I include this in my prayer as well. Meet us in our dark hours. Whether the darkness comes while we're preparing for the next paper, preparing for the next test, preparing how we're going to go home and rekindle the marriage or knit up a broken relationship. Perhaps it's financial difficulties or physical limitations. By your grace, God, would you please give them a U-turn? And as they go back, may they go forward. May they know their identity in you, who they are and whose they are, that they have been adopted by you, O Heavenly Father, chosen by you, called by you, and that they are being transformed into the very character of Jesus the Christ. And Lord, as the wise men, when they saw Jesus, they went home another way. And so may we see Jesus in our studies, in our work, in our relationships, and may we go home another way, starting over. In the precious name of Jesus the Christ, I pray, amen. And thank God.